battle worth fighting. It's the war on Alzheimer's, and Patty Vasquez and Andrea Darlis are talking about it right now. It's our three-hour special in partnership with the Illinois chapter of the Alzheimer's Association on WGN Radio.
So many families are struggling with Alzheimer's, with a loved one, maybe with a friend. This progressive disease that destroys memory and other important mental functions is scary. And we want to have this conversation in order to, one, make sure that you feel a little more informed, and we encourage you to seek out more information. And we thank you by joining us tonight. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We have partnered with the Alzheimer's Association Illinois chapter. And joining us in studio, we have, as we were speaking earlier, with chapter executive director of Helpline and Support Services, Melissa Tucker, and along with her is chapter executive director Patrick Reedy and walk volunteer Natalie Ziemba. And thank you all so much for coming in tonight. You might need headphones. I just want to let you know, Natalie, because some folks are calling in, and I've put a few of them on hold for a while, and they've been wanting to join the conversation. And we encourage anyone that wants to join us to call or text at 312-981-7200. Taxi driver Bob, you've been on hold for a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm dealing with some health issues myself with neuropathy in my leg. I had cellulitis and an abscess there, so constant pain is difficult to deal with, but it's getting better, so that's a good thing. But anyways, both of my parents died with full-blown dementia, and I want to thank your guests for being in studio there and doing what they do for families and the people that have to go through this insidious Alzheimer's and dementia. It's terrible, and it seems that it's getting worse and worse because we're living longer. Our minds are not necessarily staying as healthy as our bodies. My father moved to Florida, and unfortunately, he had dementia. And I didn't know it at the time when he moved down there, but it was in its early stages. But he was very irritable, and I didn't know why, but now I know why. But anyways, one of his more lucid days down there, my cousin lived down there and was helping him with things. And he found himself one day in a more lucid state and realized what was happening to him. And he expressed to my cousin that he wanted to kill himself. He wasn't going to kill himself, but he was very upset. And he told me for many years, if I can't take care of myself, I don't want to be around anymore. He told me that for a good 15 years. But anyway, so my cousin took it upon that given day, he was going down to the VA hospital for his medication. And my cousin decided that he was going to tell somebody at the VA hospital what my father said, and they Baker Act him. And he had to spend a month in the psych ward of the VA hospital, and he had dementia. He didn't, he didn't belong in the psych ward. And I told the people that were his caseworker there that he did have dementia. They, I guess, have to go through the proper channels of evaluating him and then eventually releasing him, which took a month. And every time I called him, he didn't have a cell phone. And so he would be called to the phone, and I could hear people screaming and yelling. It was very disconcerting.
Sure.
And very horrible for him and for myself that he had to go through that. Was that really necessary for them to do that? Could they have evaluated him that much quicker that he didn't have to endure being in a very uncomfortable situation going through dementia?
It's a great question.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that you went through that really difficult experience. That's so scary and upsetting. You know, there's a couple of things I want to address. Many times people will say things like, if I can't take care of myself, you know, I just want to end it, or I don't want to go on like this. And, you know, that's why it's important to have these conversations. What do you want? What kind of plans can I make? You want to assure that person you're going to help them live the highest quality of life possible, give them some power over those decisions when you can. And another thing is that depression often goes along with dementia, and when you get people saying things like that, they want to end it, they don't want to go on, Unfortunately, we don't have good treatments for dementia, but we can treat depression. So it's really important, if someone is saying those things, to recognize, hey, this person's depressed, we can do something about that. The psychiatric treatment that you were talking about, you know, seeing a loved one in a psychiatric unit, that's very upsetting. Sometimes there are symptoms that go along with dementia that are like paranoia, that are very upsetting for the person. It needs to be treated. You know, I can't speak to the specifics of your situation. It sounds really difficult. And I'm always sorry to hear if someone has dementia and that's not being recognized or responded to appropriately. Sometimes in certain healthcare systems, there's not as much education or understanding about what that person with dementia is going through, and I know that does happen. And I'm sorry, you know, anytime I hear that something like that has impacted somebody.
Bob, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I know it's very personal and not easy to do. Have a safe night, okay? Be well.
And yeah, you do the same. I hope that other people, I hope that they have find some way to eliminate so many people from having Alzheimer's and dementia, because it's so painful for everybody.
It is. Mm-hmm. It really is. Thank you, Bob. From the 815, the guilt I have is terrible. I was not aware of the stages of dementia. I would yell at her, and as your program stated, she was patient with me. Currently, you were talking about Silver Search. The police found her walking around the block at 1 a.m. Mother eventually passed of Alzheimer's, which was finally diagnosed in a home in 1996 at the age of 85. I cry often because I feel so bad about how I treated her. I see some symptoms of short-term memory loss within myself, my older brother as well. But my main question is, how do I get over this guilt? I admire you for doing this program. Thank you, Bernadette. And that's from the 815.
How do you get over the guilt? Yeah.
I've never talked to a caregiver that does not feel some degree of guilt. No one feels like they're doing enough. It's such a struggle. And because the disease is always changing, you don't know what works now isn't going to work the next time. And then you're in that struggle again. And, you know, you said your mom was diagnosed in 1996. There was not a lot of awareness about this. You can only know what you know. You do the best that you can with what you had. And it sounds like you did that. And, you know, just you might need to talk to somebody about this. Anytime someone passes from dementia, that's a complicated grief, because it's not a sudden loss, it's a gradual loss of the person that you knew. And that makes the grieving process very difficult, and the fact that it's complicated by, you know, your memories of having these arguments. You know, forgive yourself, you did the best that you can. Every caregiver I've ever talked to feels some degree of that guilt. And if you need to talk to somebody about the stuff that you're carrying with you, you know, I hope that you'll seek that out.
Can anybody call the Alzheimer's Association?
Absolutely.
A family member, a caregiver, anyone can call at any time?
That's correct. At 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a counselor or social worker there who can talk to you. You're a caregiver, you're an interested member of the public, you're someone who's concerned about your own memory issues, anybody can call.
Patrick, you wanted to hop in?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to note, you know, we're so fortunate to have Melissa and her colleagues who are, as you can tell, so skilled in dealing with these really difficult subjects that families are wrestling with. So, yeah, that helpline's available to everyone. And, yeah, I just wanted to point out that's just one of the services that we provide to families that are going through these difficult and challenging times.
And we were talking about Silver Search. Mike wanted to join the conversation as well. Hey, Mike, what did you want to say?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to spend 4 or 5 months last winter in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling your screener that out there they use those message boards above the highways constantly. And every single day there would be a Nova Silver alert on there with the car description, license plate, and so on. And since I've been back here, I've only heard, you know, maybe once or twice of the Silver Alert. And I think that we could make use of our boards, like, for instance, on the Kennedy. They just use them for the time of traffic and, you know, maybe a message about texting.
Mike, it's a newer program, and I think as more people become aware that they can reach out to our first responders, that those boards are being used, and chances are you'll see that they're being utilized more often going forward. So I appreciate that you're somebody who pays attention and keeps their eyes open for those messages.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, probably because there's so many retirement communities in Florida that maybe it's happening more and more there.
I think it's a combination of both. One, that's a new program here. It's probably more established there, and perhaps the aging population in Florida as well contributes to that.
And if I could mention, too, my best friend his mother is going through it now. And I can't stress how hard it is on the family. I mean, he's been going through it for years now. She's been put back and forth on and off hospice like three or four different times. And I just don't know how the families get through it. It's such a hard thing.
It is. And we're going to continue to talk with our friends from the Alzheimer's Association Illinois chapter about those supports and the help that's available when we come back. Thank you so much, Mike. That was it was always an important conversation, and we appreciate your contribution. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
The reality, the pain, the courage, the battle. Patty Vasquez and Andrea Darlis talk Alzheimer's right now on WGN Radio.
Alzheimer's is a type of dementia that causes problems with memory, thinking, and behavior. Symptoms usually develop slowly and get worse over time, becoming severe enough to interfere with daily tasks. We are joined in studio on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis by Melissa Tucker, who is the Director of Helpline and Support Services for Alzheimer's Association Illinois Chapter. Also, Patrick Reedy, who is the Alzheimer's Association Illinois Chapter Executive Director, newly minted. And we also have in studio with us Natalie Ziamba, Walk to End Alzheimer's participant and volunteer. Her team has raised more than $10,000 so far, and that's counting. And we were talking for briefly off the air about, you know, people ask what they can do, how can they participate. What do you tell those folks, Patrick?
Sure, thanks. Well, we have an awesome example of volunteerism to my left here in Natalie, but we're a volunteer-driven organization. So many people that volunteer are personally affected and find us, or we find them, and provide an amazing outlet to help raise not only awareness but critical funds to help drive our mission. So volunteering is a huge part of what we do, and we're very fortunate to have great support from the community in that way.
How did you get involved, Natalie?
Well, after my father's diagnosis in 2010, I grieved for a bit, and then I thought, you know what, I have to somehow get involved. I have to do something. And I was a solo walker. I just did it on my own. I didn't have a team the first year that I did it, and that was in 2013. And I raised close to $1,000, and within a few weeks of the Walk to End Alzheimer's here in Chicago, I was contacted by a member of the association, and they said, you know, on your own, you raised an incredible amount of money. Would you be interested in volunteering and being part of the committee? And I said, absolutely. What do I have to do? So we sat down, we chatted for a bit, and I was on the committee the second year, and I had a team. It was very small, but we raised a few $1,000s. And of course, the day of the Walk to End Alzheimer's, it is incredible. It's inspirational. You're with people that identify with you, with your struggle. You cry, you laugh. At the end of it, you kind of hug and you all come together and you realize, you know what? We're not just here to raise money. That's part of it, but you're here to do outreach, and you're here to tell your story and to share with each other and find other people that are going through the exact same thing that you're going through. And I have just continued to be involved with Walk. Now I'm part of the Alzheimer's Ambassadors Program. I go to DC every year. And through that outreach, now we're talking about legislation and we're meeting with lawmakers. I meet with my member of Congress. I met with Senator Durbin last year and talking to them about the importance of research and the different pieces of legislation that we need to pass in order to kind of keep this conversation going. And one day we will find a cure. I feel that in my lifetime that we will do that. And just kind of continuing the conversation and finding friends and finding other advocates that share your struggle.
How does it feel to work with lawmakers?
Incredible.
It's a whole new facet for you, isn't it?
I absolutely love it. I pour everything I have into it. It's my passion in life. It really is. This is not a career. This is not my job. It's like
it's
a second
life.
Job.
It's your
life. It's my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's my life. And being a volunteer for me, honestly, it is incredible because you find this network of people that know you. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to say a word, and they know exactly what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And is that so important? Because, you know, you cry your tears. I've said my goodbye. My father is still here. I've already said my one goodbye to him. Mm-hmm. And it's a two goodbye. That's what Alzheimer's and dementia is. It's two goodbyes. You say your goodbye, and then you wait. And it's years and years and years sometimes to say your second goodbye. Yeah. But the people that are there with you on day of walk, the people in the ambassadors program, you just look at each other and you know exactly what you're going through. You don't even have to say a word, and you know. And that's the importance of the Alzheimer's Association here in Illinois, here in Chicagoland. There is a group of people that will help you. Reach out. Just make a call. Don't even register. Just come the day of walk and just participate and look around at this huge network of people that are there for you. Mm-hmm.
From Samantha, she says, the walk to end Alzheimer's is so crucial to raise awareness, so I want to thank Natalie for being such an all-star in that field. Thank you for your courage. We'll talk about how people can get involved in the walk and about these great license plates as well when we come back. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We've partnered with the Alzheimer's Association Illinois chapter, and we continue to take your calls and texts at 312-981-7200. Joe, we didn't forget about you, but it's going to be after the news. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
A battle worth fighting. It's the war on Alzheimer's, and Patty Vasquez and Andrea Darlis are talking about it right now. It's our three-hour special in partnership with the Illinois chapter of the Alzheimer's Association on WGN Radio.
Alzheimer's is the most common cause of dementia, a general term for memory loss and other cognitive abilities, serious enough to interfere with daily life. We thank you so much for joining this show tonight, this very special show. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we've partnered with the Alzheimer's Association Illinois chapter to hear your stories as well. Any questions or comments? We are taking calls and texts at 312-981-7200. And here for this conversation, we have Director of Helpline and Support Services, Melissa Tucker, and Chapter Executive Director, Patrick Reedy, and walk volunteer, Natalie Ziemba. We're going to find out. Let's make sure we get to that before too much time goes by, that we talk about the walk coming up. Who wants to share information about that?
I'd be happy to. Yeah. Thank you. So we have had 24 walks, actually, in the state of Illinois so far. Mm-hmm. We have one big one left, which is this coming Sunday, the 28th, mm-hmm. At Montrose Harbor. It'll be a great day for coming together. We'll have thousands of people, literally, like the folks you've heard from today and from your callers, who have been impacted by Alzheimer's disease and other dementia, who are choosing to channel that, just like Natalie has, by raising funds and awareness through the Walk to End Alzheimer's. So mm-hmm. we're looking forward to a great day.
And there's also license plates. The Jesse White license plates will be...
We're expecting Jesse White to join us on Sunday, along with the tumblers, which will be part of the fun. But he'll be there to help us also show off our terrific new End Alls license plates, a specialty plate that people can... You may have started to see those. They're pretty new, but you've probably started to see those on the highway. We've seen some really cool vanity plates that people have chosen to honor a loved one through those plates. But there is an additional fee of $25, but of that amount, $23 goes back to the Alzheimer's Association's mission to help provide for the care and support that you've heard from Melissa and others today, also to advance research and also to help promote brain health to reduce risk for Alzheimer's and other dementias too. So yeah, lots of awareness and fundraising through both of those programs.
It's an awesome amount of money, 23 of 25 going back into programs and research. And we wanted to talk to you about research too. I mean, where are we? How are we doing with research? I mean, is there hope that at some point soon, a career could be in, or rather, a cure could be in sight?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Andrea. So the Alzheimer's Association is the largest nonprofit funder of Alzheimer's research worldwide. We're also the third largest, behind only the U.S. government and the Chinese government. And so, you know, we're working across several fronts. It is a very complex disease. We're looking into earlier diagnosis, treatment options. We've got more than $160 million worth of research actively being funded right now, thanks to generous support from events like the Walk and other fundraising done by the Alzheimer's Association. That's happening through 450 projects in 25 countries. So you can tell that there's amazing volume of activity going on right now. And we know research is challenging. And so that's the volume that we need to be able to have breakthroughs that'll someday end this disease.
Natalie, you wanted to add to that too.
Yeah, it's part of being an ambassador. What that means is going to Washington, D.C. and compelling legislators to continue National Institute of Health funding. And we have done that year over year over year. And every time we ask our legislators about this, because it is a nonpartisan issue, you go into their offices and you start talking. I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. You start talking about Alzheimer's and dementia and their aging population in their state or in their district, and they feel the need to support it. This is something that we need to do. Get involved. Talk to your legislators. Go to town halls. speak to them about this. This is really important because it's only through research and continuing the funding through NIH that we are going to find a cure and that we can keep the researchers doing the important work that they're doing every day. So as part of being a volunteer, that's my responsibility. And I feel that if you can take the time to get involved, it's a good way. We were talking earlier about, you know, how do I sort of cope with it and how do I find a little hope? Volunteer, get involved, do the walk, or, you know, reach out and become an ambassador and speak to your local legislators. That's important.
This was a text we got earlier today from the 708. I was an RN at Rush University Medical Center for 48 years on the geriatric psychiatry unit. The inpatient unit helped many patients with dementia and behavioral problems. This past August, Rush U has closed the unit. Northwestern U also closed their inpatient unit. I feel sad these important clinical units have closed. We need funding to keep these clinical units available for patients that need hospitalization. That's Virginia, RN, Rush University Med Center. So did you want
to? I just want to say, yeah, we do need funding. We do need treatment centers. Mm-hmm. We really do. Yeah, I agree with all of that.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, Joe, I know you've been on hold for a while. You wanted to talk about caregivers. How are you doing tonight, Joe?
Real good. I hope the echo's not here.
It's not, surprisingly.
Great.
There we go.
I'll cell phone. Hey, listen, another great forum, timely and very important topic. The question I have is, I read an article, I don't know, 6 months ago, whatever. The caregiver themselves, life expectancy is roughly 5 years less than the national norm. Given the fact that the person that's given the care to is oblivious to what's going on, you know, they're absent-minded, so forth and so on. And the stress on the caregiver, and this, I guess, goes to one of the persons I heard when I first tuned in about 12 minutes ago. She was, you know, regretting some of the things that occurred. So I'd like an update as to whether that statistic is still true or if you would amend that or what? Given the stress on the caregiver, their life expectancy is reduced substantially compared to the person with the actual affliction.
Right. I think Melissa has some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that exact statistic, but I can tell you that, yes, the stress of caregiving for somebody with dementia is one of the most stressful things. There's research that shows that being a caregiver of anybody is stressful. Being a caregiver of somebody with dementia is even more stressful. And stress does take a physical toll on you. It does decrease life expectancy. It exacerbates health conditions. So not just the anxiety and depression that go with that, but your heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, all of these can get worse. It's not uncommon for the caregiver to predecease the person with dementia. So yes, the toll on caregivers is immense.
What can we do about that, Carol?
What can we do? Yeah, what can we do about that? There's so many resources that we'd like to share with you from the Alzheimer's Association, the helpline where you just call and talk to somebody about how you're feeling. Support groups are a wonderful way for caregivers to connect with others and not just talk about feelings, but talk about, you know, advice, good information. My mom won't take a bath. Well, here's what I did. Here's how I had the driving conversation. That emotional connection with others is so important. It's very isolating to be a caregiver, and that's a huge part of that stress. The stigma, the isolation. Go to a support group, meet other people, connect with other people. They'll talk to you about the need for reducing your stress. You know, get some respite, get somebody in there to help so you can take a nap or read a book or do what you want to do because your life is really at stake in this. Yes.
Are there any help for caretakers as far as maybe monetary or volunteers who maybe will go in and say, you know what, I'll spend a day with the person to give maybe the caregiver a break on any given day as well?
Right.
That's a part of it too.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there's a lot of in-home care agencies, but for people who can't afford that in Illinois, there's the community care program, which is accessed through your local area agency on aging. You can call the helpline and get connected with that. That's a program for in-home care and adult daycare for people that can't afford it. It's a really important resource that a lot of people don't know about.
And as far as what, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Natalie, you wanted to add to that too.
Yeah, I was just going to chime in and say the importance of connecting with your family and sharing your experience, but also connecting with, like Melissa was saying, other volunteers and other people that are going through the shared experience. It's not just about talking about emotion and emotional health, but it is the practical day-to-day things. Waking up, your sleep schedule changes completely because you have to be awake when the person that is diagnosed is awake. Showering, daily grooming, brushing teeth, shaving. You know how difficult it is as a woman to shave my father? I had to learn that skill. I don't shave my face, so I had to learn how to shave my father, how to shower with him. Practical things like this. This is no joke. I have a bathing suit at the nursing home, and I put a bathing suit on and I get in the shower with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I talk about that with normal, you know, people that aren't going through this experience, they kind of give me this weird sideways look, like, that's kind of crazy. My friends, they don't think twice. They're like, oh yeah, that's a really good idea.
It's an excellent idea. Yeah,
you share tips like that and just ideas, and you share different strategies on how to feed, or the different dietary needs, or just exercise, simple things like that. But my gosh, yeah, caretaking, it's so stressful, and simple things that you take for granted, like, I want to go grocery shopping when I want to go grocery shopping. You can't do that. So how do you navigate around that and find different tricks and different tools in order to take care of how you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. And I'll just jump in here. You know, the caregiver aspect of this disease is so immense. And, you know, we've heard some amazing stories, including Natalie's, you know, and it's even more concerning when you think about the growth of this disease over time. You know, there's 5.7 million people with this disease in 2018. That number is expected to increase to 14 million by the year 2050. And you think about 16.1 million caregivers today. Think about how that number will grow if we're not able to abate this disease. And I think two ways were mentioned, you know, the fundraising that we're doing through the walk and other programs through the Alzheimer's Association, and as Natalie mentioned, the really important support from the government that she's worked so hard as a volunteer to ensure continues, because this is a disease that's right now measured in the billions, but if we don't do something about it, it's going to be measured in the trillions. And so it's really important that people get behind either one of those aspects to try to change the course of this disease.
Joe, I want to thank you so much for calling and asking about this, because obviously these answers, I think, help a lot of people. It may not get everyone where they need to be, but it's having those conversations and acknowledging so much of what people go through. I know that even you mentioned going, you know, taking a shower, and there's more than that. And I know there are things that your friends don't want to talk about, so you have to find those people to say, these are the kinds of things I'm going through with my family member. Another listener from the 847 asks, they're wondering about the costs of services and what can families do if they don't have the means?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it impacts a lot of people. It can be very expensive. After diagnosis, we really recommend that people sit down and have these conversations, maybe consult with an elder law attorney to look at asset protection or what they need to do to pay for care. A lot of people don't understand or don't realize that residential care is not covered by Medicare. It's either paid for out of pocket or long-term care insurance, which a lot of people don't have, or people go down to Medicaid. These are really complicated questions, and you want to talk to an elder law attorney or a financial planner to really work out how you're going to do this.
We talked about research a little bit too, but Liz, can we talk also about treatment options and medicine nowadays? I mean, I'm sure the advancements, say, from now as compared to 10 years ago or even sooner, are better now. I mean, are there medicines that are delaying it, or anything, you know, medication-wise or treatment-wise that's helping delay it?
Yeah, sadly, the treatment options have not changed a lot lately. There are a couple of medications that will make people function better for a little bit longer. They don't delay the progress of the disease in the brain, but they help that damaged brain function a little better, a little longer. Right. We're really looking at how prevention can impact this. So things like managing your blood pressure, exercise is really, really important.
Yeah. And sorry to interrupt, Melissa. I just wanted to jump in too. And of course, a key element of research is clinical trials. And so by going to our website, www.alz.org, people can learn more about how they can enroll and learn whether they're eligible for clinical trials, which of course is going to be critical in order to get some of these potentially life-changing treatments out of the lab and into people's lives.
That's alz.org?
That's right, yep.
And Melissa, the number for the helpline again?
1-800-272-3900.
Okay, more with our guests when we come back. We have a few minutes left. We'll try to get to the rest of the texts and phone calls as we continue our important conversation, as we've partnered with the Alzheimer's Association Illinois chapter on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis, 720 WGN. Our number is 312-981-7200.
The reality, the pain, the courage, the battle. Patty Vasquez and Andre Darlis talk Alzheimer's right now on WGN Radio.
Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a chronic neurodegenerative disease that usually starts slowly and worsens over time. It is the cause of the majority of the cases of dementia. And joining us in studio are our friends from the Alzheimer's Association Illinois chapter. We are pleased to welcome walk volunteer Natalie Ziemba. We have the chapter executive director Patrick Reedy and director of helpline and support services Melissa Tucker. And we've been getting a lot of texts. I know that we've tried to get to as many of them as possible, but I also want to make sure, in case there are things that you knew you wanted to say when you came in tonight, that we don't leave anything out there that you're like, oh, because a lot of times we'll finish these conversations and I or Andrea or our guests will be like, oh, you know what I forgot to say. So I'll give you some time if there's anything, but I want to make sure that we address everything that you knew you wanted to say.
Right.
Patrick?
We have, as long as we get to remind everybody about the walk this
week.
The
walk, yeah,
we
right now.
Yeah, we brought all our medals.
Doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, wait, there's six or seven?
There's six of them.
I thought you were going to jingle them. Can you jingle?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
That's good radio, right?
There you go.
Nice.
That's all. But it's a wonderful, wonderful event. It's always hugely attended. Jesse White will be there as well. So tell us what we can expect to see on Sunday.
Yeah, well, it'll be a great day. Of course, the highlight is really the ceremony, which will begin at 9:30 when we'll have a chance to really honor the reason that people are there walking. It'll be a sea of flowers notating the reason that people are there for their loved ones and caregivers and family members alike. And then we'll start the walk at 10 o'clock. It'll be a great way to really culminate of all the fundraising efforts that have been going on for literally months now in anticipation of the walk weekend. And as we talked about, all the money will go to help support the care and support that you've heard from Melissa and others, the research that you heard from a little bit about earlier today, and all the good work that we're doing. So we appreciate everybody's support and coming out on Sunday.
That's it's excellent, and I know it'll be a great event. And we've also been listening, hearing from listeners who are sharing their experiences from the 847. My mom recently passed. The best advice I can give after 16 years of dealing with this disease is to just hold their hand and talk to them. They and you need it. Please do this show again.
Yeah. And so many people, we have so many texts just thanking you, all of you, and another one just now from the 708. Thank you so much to the Alzheimer's Association for all that you do. And thank you, WGN, for helping to raise awareness to Chicagoland. So thank you for all of you do and all the time and the effort and the energy that you put into this and informing people who maybe were hopeless or didn't have a lot of hope until they heard a lot of this tonight.
And speaking of, I wanted to mention, you know, Patrick mentioned the flowers that we hold up at the walk, and each color symbolizes something different. So orange is about just supporting the cause and a vision for a world without Alzheimer's disease. Yellow is if you're caring for somebody with the disease. Blue, if you are living with Alzheimer's or another dementia. Purple, you've lost somebody. And speaking of hope, we've added a white flower. And that is the hope that one day we're going to find a cure. And that white flower is going to be held up by the first survivor of this disease. And when you see all the flowers held up, there's not a dry eye at Montrose Harbor. Everybody is just, and you're hugging and you're crying and you're motivated to then start that walk. And it's incredible. So we currently have, we're looking at about 6,000 people. Just picture that number and picture that number of flowers held up in the air and just look around at that sea of support. Right. It's incredible.
And I do. I love the work that you guys do. I've had the honor of working with organizations all over the country. In Tennessee, I worked with the Alzheimer's Association. And there is really something about what you said earlier, Natalie, about saying goodbye, right? And I don't know if people quite grasp that unless they're going through it themselves. But when you realize the new reality, it's something that you have a choice, right? Is either you're all in or, you know, and some people, it takes them some time, doesn't it?
It sure does. And, you know, right from the start, it's about how can I put everything into what I love this person so much, and how do I now reciprocate that love that they showed me throughout my time? And, you know, our time together is now very different between my father and I, but boy, do I treasure those moments. And I hold his hand and I look in his eye and I just talk to him and just hugging him and just touching him and embracing him and, you know, just walking around and just those little tiny things that now are the routine when I visit with him, brushing his teeth, feeding him, bathing him, and all of the icky, yicky parts, you know what, that's okay too. And you have to have a sense of humor. And I tell myself, you know what, Natalie, get a grip. Because he did it for you when you were a little kid, and now, in a way, he's almost a child.
Yeah.
And you come full circle, and it's all that's all part of the journey and the experience. So those of you who are out there that are struggling, please reach out and get in touch with us. There's hundreds of other Natalies out there that are willing to share experiences and just talk. If you just need a shoulder to cry on, reach out, call the helpline. We'll get connected with you. Don't forget that.
And the helpline is?
1-800-272-3900.
And go ahead. Give it one more time.
Yep.
1-800-272-3900.
And the website is alz.org.
That's right.
More in a moment. And again, this has been a meaningful, and I know you've had a tremendous impact with this conversation tonight. More in a moment on 720 WGN.